Sunrise couldn't be seen because of the range of mountains that lay to the east, but its effect was obvious, so that when Smoke, Pearly, and Cal left Frisco, the sky was the dove gray of a soft dawn. By the time the sun did appear over the mountains, a hot, dry wind moved through the canyon, pushing before it a billowing puff of red dust. The cloud of dust lifted high and spread out wide, making it look as if there was blood on the sun. The three men had ridden in relative silence for most of the morning. Now Pearly broke the silence.
Hey, Smoke, did you know that when we get back, Cal's gonna turn the head of every young woman in the county?
Oh, is he now?
Sure enough, that's what he's gonna do. He's gonna turn the head of every young woman in the county. And he's gonna break a lot of hearts, too.
Watch it, Pearly.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, just take a look at that fancy silver hat band Cal bought back in Frisco, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Wait a minute! Pearly, are you telling me that you knew about my fancy silver hat band? You didn't say anything about it?
Oh, yeah, I knew about it.
How come you did... Wait a minute. How'd you know about my turning the heads of all the girls in the county?
Well, now, Cal, ain't that what the pretty little girl said when she smiled at you and suckered you into buying that hat band?
She didn't sucker me into it. I went in there to buy it. You was there, wasn't you? You was in the store.
Why... It ain't really spending your money. When you buy this silver hat band, it's the same as if you're just putting it in the bank.
I knew it. You was in the store the whole time spying on me.
Oh, I wasn't spying. I was just... Well, all right, I reckon I was spying on you just a little bit. That's only because I didn't want you going off doing something foolish.
Yeah, well, I don't need you mothering me. And I don't care what you say. I like it.
Why don't you show it to Smoke?
Smoke's got more important things to do than to look at my hat band.
What's important about just riding? That's all we're doing now. Come on, show it to him.
Nah, it ain't nothing.
The reason he don't want you to see it, Smoke, is because he figures to get all gussied up for the girls back in Big Rock, and he's embarrassed.
I am not embarrassed.
Well, why don't you show it to him?
Do you want to see it, Smoke?
Sure.
Cal held his hat out so Smoke could see it.
Well, this here one is just plain silver. I could have got one that had lots of turquoise on it, but that would have been a little bit too ostentatious.
Ostentatious. It would have been too ostentatious. Where in the world did you come up with a word like that?
Miss Sally taught it to me. Ostentatious means when you're showing off.
Well, hell, Cal. What do you reckon you'll be doing when you go into that dance hall wearing that shiny band on your hat if it ain't showing off?
Son of a bitch! Someone's shooting at us!
The three men had been under fire many times before, so they wasted no time asking what was going on or looking at each other in confusion. They knew exactly what was going on, and they knew what to do about it. Simultaneously, they pulled their rifles out of the saddle sheaths, then dismounted and slapped their horses on the rumps to send them out of the line of fire.
He's up there!
Smoke pointed to the top of the denuded wall of the Red Mesa. When Pearly and Cal looked in the direction Smoke was pointing, they saw a little puff of smoke drifting away.
Yeah, I see him.
There's only one way we're going to get him out of there.
I sure hope you ain't about to say what I think you're about to say.
Yep, we're going to have to climb up there after him.
Damn it, I knew you was going to say that.
One of us can climb up after him. The other two can take up a position in those rocks over there.
Smoke pointed to a collection of boulders that was located near the base of the cliff.
One of us is gonna have to climb up.
That's the only way.
Smoke, you know I can't climb up that wall. I'm afraid of heights.
I'll go. I'm a good climber.
No, I'll go. You and Pearly get into those rocks over there.
You sure?
I'm sure.
Come on, Cal. It ain't gonna be all that easy getting across there.
Finally, with a dive that covered the last 5 yards, Pearly made it to the rocks. Cal dived in right behind him.
Whoa!
What kept you so long?
I stopped to take a leak. What now?
We let Smoke know we made it all right.
Hell, he was watching us. You think you don't know we made it?
Pearly stood up, then looked back toward Smoke, giving him a little wave to let him know that they were ready. Smoke nodded back at them.
All right.
Pearly raised up and began firing up toward whoever had been shooting at them.
Who are you shooting at? I don't see anyone.
It doesn't matter whether we see anyone or not. All we're doing now is keep them bastards down so to give Smoke some cover.
Yeah, I can see that.
Back on the other side of the little open area, Smoke looked around, then saw a possible way up the side of the canyon wall. He followed it with his eyes and saw that it led all the way to the top. Also, except for a few gaps, it appeared to offer cover and concealment for anyone who might climb it. It was obvious that the assailant hadn't noticed it, or he would not have taken the position he now occupied. That's because if Smoke could successfully negotiate the climb, he would be on top of the mesa, behind the shooter. Smoke began to climb. Although the route had looked passable from the ground, climbing it proved to be very difficult. Smoke had been at it for nearly half an hour, and it didn't seem as if he were any closer to the top. However, when he looked back toward the ground, he could see that he was making progress, for by now he was dangerously high. Smoke clung to the side of the mountain and moved only when he had a secure handhold and foothold, tiny though it might be. Sweat poured into his eyes, and he grew thirsty with the effort, but still he climbed. Then he came to a complete stop. There was no place to go from there. Although he had seen this gap from his observation on the ground, he hadn't realized that it would be totally impassable.
Damn! Now what?
From his position behind the rocks, Cal saw Smoke's predicament.
Damn, he stopped.
What?
Smoke, he stopped climbing.
I don't blame him. I wouldn't have gotten that far.
He reached a place where he's run out of foot and handholds. He can't go no further.
Well, I hope he's got better sense to keep on trying. He needs to come down now.
He ain't gonna do that. You know Smoke. He's gonna keep on trying till he makes it up or gets himself killed trying.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about, the getting himself killed part.
I see a way.
Where?
He's gonna have to come down a bit and then go over to his right. Only thing is, from where he is now, there's no way he can see it.
Well, maybe he'll see it.
Nope, ain't no way he can see it from there. I'm gonna have to point it out to him.
Point it out to him? Wait a minute, you ain't talking about going up there with him, are you?
No, if I can get him to look at me, I can point to it from here.
You want him to look at you?
Yeah. But he's still trying to figure out a way to go on from there.
Get ready to point.
Pearly raised his rifle to his shoulder and took careful aim.
Pearly, what the hell are you doing?
Just get ready to point.
The impact of the bullet carved away tiny stone fragments, some of which peppered his face.
What the hell?
Looking around, Smoke saw a puff of smoke drifting up from the rocks where Pearly and Cal had taken cover. Then he saw Cal stand up and wave at him. For a moment, Smoke wondered what Cal was doing. Then he saw that Cal was making a motion with his hand, indicating that Smoke should come back down a little ways, then go up by a different route. Cal pointed it out to him. Smoke waved back at him, then started back down the path he had just climbed. After a few minutes, another bullet slammed into the wall beside him, and looking back, he saw Cal pointing again. Looking around, he saw another chute going up, and he knew this was what Cal meant. Smoke started up this chute, and though the going was very difficult, he was managing to climb again. Above him was nothing but the uninviting rock face of the cliff. Below him was a sheer drop of more than 150 feet to the rocky canyon floor. Smoke continued his climb, working hard to find the handholds and tiny crevices by which he could advance. Sweat poured into his eyes and slickened the palms of his hands, but still he climbed. Smoke stayed in place for a moment or two, then, catching his breath, began to climb again. After 2 minutes of climbing, it began to get a little easier, then easier still, until finally he reached a ledge that showed signs of having been a trail at one time, possibly a trail that had existed until erosion took the bottom part of it away. The trail improved and widened until he could walk upright. Shortly after that, he made it to the top. Smoke saw the assailant then, no more than 25 yards away from him, peering down toward the canyon floor, totally unaware that Smoke had reached the top.
Enjoying the view.
What the hell?
Who are you?
The name is Sardine.
Why were you trying to kill us, Sardine?
I wasn't aiming to kill you. All I wanted to do was hold you up for a while so as to keep you from getting home right away.
You wanted to keep us from getting home. Now why would you want to do that?
To give Van Ark time to catch your woman. I've done my job. By now, we've done took her, and I reckon you'll pay plenty to get her back.
Snatch my woman. Are you talking about Sally?
Is that her name? Sally? Well, now, that's a right pretty name. Yes, sir, it is. But then I've heard she's a real pretty woman. So I expect you'll pay pretty near any amount of money we ask for just to get her back now, won't you?
It won't make any difference to you whether I pay or not.
Who do you mean it won't make any difference to me? What are you talking about? Oh, wait a minute. I see what you're trying to do. You're trying to turn me against Van Ark by making me think he won't give me my share, aren't you? Well, it ain't gonna work.
It won't make any difference to you whether I pay or not, because you'll be in jail.
in a pig's eye, I'll be in jail. You know better than to try something like that. Don't forget, we've got your woman.
You're coming to Big Rock with us. I wouldn't be surprised if Sheriff Carson didn't have some paper on you.
You're planning on turning me in for the reward, are you? Hey, tell me, Mr. Jensen, are you deaf? The reason I ask this, I told you we have your woman. Now, just think about it for a moment. What do you think's going to happen to your woman if I wind up in jail?
You let me worry about that.
Yeah? Well, worry about this. Van Arnold will kill your woman if you don't cooperate with him. Only before he kills her, he'll pass her around amongst all the others so everyone will get their turn with her, if you know what I mean. Now, are you still hell-bent on taking me into jail?
Yes, I am. Come on, let's go.
Mister, you don't even have your gun out, and you're telling me to come with you?
You can come to jail with me now, or die right here. It's up to you.
I ain't a-going nowhere with you, you son of a bitch.
Chardine made a desperate grab for his pistol. His gun didn't even break leather.
Damn, that hurts.
Where are they taking Sally?
Smoke! Smoke, you all right?
Where are they taking Sally?
Even as he was asking the question, Smoke knew that it would go unanswered. The gunman was dead.
Smoke! Smoke, are you all right?
I'm all right, Pearly. You and Cal round up our horses. I'll be right down.
It took Smoke a lot less time to reach the ground than it had taken him to climb. When he reached the ground, Pearly and Cal walked over to him. Cal was holding the reins to Smoke's horse.
Who was that up there? What was that all about?
The man's name was Chardine. Have either of you ever heard of him?
I haven't.
Me neither.
Well, if he wasn't lying, we have to get home. We need to get there as fast as we can.
Why?
According to Chardine, Van Art is going after Sally.
There were no more questions. All Smoke needed to say to galvanize the others into action was that Sally was in danger. In an instant, the three men were mounted. Then they rode out of the canyon. Sally was on the porch pumping water when she saw the buckboard pull into the yard. Lucy Goodnature was driving.
Lucy, what a delightful surprise. Is it true?
Is what true?
Is it true that Pearlie's getting back today? I saw Hodge Deckert in town, and he said he had delivered a telegram to you yesterday saying that Mr. Jensen would be back home today.
Well, I guess it's no secret. Yes, Smoke is due back today.
And Pearly will be with him?
Well, as far as I know, he will be. Would you like to wait here for him?
Oh, yes, ma'am. I would love to wait for him. That is, if you don't mind, if I wouldn't be in the way.
Of course I don't mind. You wouldn't be in the way at all. Carlos, would you take care of Lucy's rig? Lucy, I'm baking bear sign for when the men return. Maybe you would like to help me?
Oh, yes. I can't think of anything I would rather do. Gracias, Carlos.
It is my pleasure, Senorita.
Maria came running across the yard.
Senorita Lucy! Hola!
Hola, Maria.
Do you see my new dress?
Oh, how beautiful. Oh, wait. I shouldn't be talking to you.
Why should you not talk to me?
I should not talk to you because you are my competition. I think you are Pearly's girlfriend.
No, Senorita. I am not Senor Pearly's girlfriend. We are just friends.
Oh, are you sure you're just friends? Do you promise you aren't trying to steal him from me?
I promise I will not try to steal Senor Pearly from you. He says he wants to marry me, but I think he is teasing because he knows I am too young. I think it is you he wants to marry.
Do you think so?
See, I am sure of it.
From your lips to God's ears, little one.
Maria, don't be bothering the nice ladies.
I'm not bothering them, mamacita. I'm just talking to them.
Don't you have some chores to do?
See, I must go.
Then turning, she ran back across the yard.
Oh, what a delightful child. I hope that someday I can have... Oh, I shouldn't be so foolish.
Nonsense. Why is it foolish to hope to someday have a child as delightful as Maria? She would bring joy to any mother's heart.
Yes, she would, wouldn't she? I believe you said there was something I could do to help you with your baking?
Yes. Come on into the kitchen. I'm just ready to take the first batch out.
Sally's kitchen was redolent with the sweet hot dough and cinnamon aroma of freshly made bear sign. Using several layers of cloth as a hot pad, Sally took a pan out of the oven.
All right, Lucy, we're ready to put the next pan in.
The baking pan Sally had mentioned was sitting on the table, filled with puffs of dough and liberally dusted with powdered sugar and cinnamon. Lucy picked it up, then stepped over to the open oven.
Which rack should I put it on? Top, middle, or bottom?
The middle rack is fine.
I can't thank you enough for allowing me to visit so I could be here when Pearlie returns. And I thank you also for allowing me to help you with the bear sign, even though I know I'm probably more of a bother than a help.
Nonsense. Every time you have come over, you have been a big help, and I have appreciated it.
I know Pearlie likes your bear sign. He has mentioned them to me.
Huh, is that what you think? That Pearlie likes them? Honey, like isn't the word. Why, I do believe that man could eat every bear sign on the tray and ask for more.
The pastries Sally pointed to had swollen much larger during the baking process and were now golden brown and glistening.
Oh, these are so beautiful, and they smell so good. I can see why Pearlie loves them so. I can barely resist trying one myself.
Well, what makes you think you have to resist? One of the best things about being the cook is that it is sometimes necessary to taste something, just to make certain it is coming out as it should. Go ahead, eat one.
Oh, should I?
Of course. One of us will have to test them out to see how good they are. It may as well be you.
Well, couldn't both of us test them?
I like the way you think.
Lucy picked up one of the pastries and took a bite, then closed her eyes and made an expression of pure joy.
Oh, Sally. This is the most delicious thing I have ever put in my mouth.
Thank you, dear. I appreciate the compliment. I know I shouldn't talk about my own baking, but these are particularly good.
Oh, no wonder Pearlie likes them.
I had better check the fire.
That was when she heard the door open behind her.
Sally?
When Sally turned, she saw that three men had come into the kitchen. All three were holding guns.
Kino, what are you doing here?
I'll just bet you thought you'd never see me again, huh?
Let's just say that it was my fervent hope that I would never see you again.
Next, you'll be saying that you should have killed me back in Longmont Saloon when you had the chance.
You're right. I should have. But what can I say? We all make mistakes from time to time. Letting you live was one of mine.
One of the three men who'd entered the kitchen had pink eyes and skin that was as white as chalk. Sally knew about the albino named Reese Van Arnt, knew that Smoke had had a run-in with him a few years earlier, and remembered Sheriff Carson's warning that he had been released from prison. And although Sally had never seen Van Arnt, this man certainly fit his description.
And who is this beautiful young lady?
This here is Lucy Goodnature. She's the daughter of a neighbor and rancher, and if you ask me, she's a stuck-up little bitch. Pearlie's sweet on her, and from what I can tell, she's sweet on him.
The man with the white skin reached over to touch Lucy.
Leave the girl alone, Van Arnt.
Well, now, you called me by name. I see that you've heard of me.
Oh, yes, I have heard of you.
I'm surprised, and I'm flattered.
I wouldn't be flattered if I were you, not if you knew what I've heard.
And what have you heard, my dear? Have you heard that I'm a desperate outlaw?
No, I have heard that you are a miserable excuse of a man with less redemptive tissue than a maggot on a gut wagon.
A maggot on a gut wagon, that's funny. I ain't never heard that expression before.
Shut up, Miller!
Now, Mrs. Jensen, is that any way to treat house guests? What a delicious aroma. Oh, pastries, I see. Aren't you going to serve your guests?
You are not my guest, Van Arnt. None of you are. And I'm going to ask you all to get out of my house now.
Isn't that just like a woman giving orders when she's holding the short end of the stick?
Van Arnt took one of the bear sign and took a bite.
Ooh, delicious.
Those are not for you.
Now tell me, little lady, just how are you going to stop me? Kino, take her outside and tie her up. Millie, you take the other one out.
Taking another bite of the pastry, Van Arnt turned and left the kitchen so that only Kino and Miller remained behind with Sally and Lucy. Kino put his pistol in his holster, then stepped across the kitchen towards Sally.
You know, when I look at you, I remember how you stood out on the porch and lord it over all of us at the barbecue. You were the ranch owner's wife. I was just one of the low-life cowboys.
No, the cowboys were all decent men. You were just a low-life.
Is that so? Well, now, Mrs. Jensen, I reckon you aren't so high and mighty now, are you? Come on, you're going to take a little trip with us.
Sally waited until he was very close. Then, suddenly and unexpectedly, she shoved the hot stove lid, which was still hanging from the end of the lifter she was holding, into his face. Kino put both hands to his face. As he did so, Sally dropped the lifter and pulled Kino's pistol from his holster and shot the one called Miller. Miller went down, and Sally ran to the door, intending to shoot Van Art as well, but she stopped as soon as she reached the door. There, in the backyard of her house, were four men. All four were armed, but it wasn't their superior numbers that stopped her. What had stopped her was the fact that Van Arnt was holding his pistol to the head of the little girl, Maria. Maria's father and mother were standing by looking on as well, their faces reflecting their fear.
Put the gun down, Mrs. Jensen.
When Sally hesitated, Van Arnt cocked his pistol and pressed it harder into Maria's head.
I said, put the gun down. Unless you want to see me blow this little girl's brains out.
No, don't. Please don't hurt the girl. She's an innocent child. She has done nothing to you.
This is the last time I'm going to ask you. Put the gun down.
Slowly and carefully, Sally put the pistol on the ground in front of her.
Maria, don't be frightened. It will be all right. Carlos, Consuela, we are all going to do exactly what they tell me to do. It will be all right. Don't be frightened.
Si, senora.
You bitch!
Kino ran out of the house then. His face was red from the hot stove lid.
I'm gonna kill you.
Kino, leave her be. She's no good to us dead.
Well, look at what that bitch did to me.
That was your own fault.
Ugh, it hurts.
Go back in the kitchen, find some lard and smear it on your face.
Kino turned back toward the kitchen.
And check on Miller.
Miller's dead. This bitch killed him.
No, you killed him. The woman wasn't armed. You were. I gave you a simple thing to do, and you wound up getting Miller killed and your face burned.
She tricked me.
Uh-huh. Boswell, since Kino couldn't do it, you tie her up. Tie the other one up, too. We'll take both of them.
What the hell are we taking both of them for?
This one will be our insurance.
Sally!
Boswell walked up to Sally and dropped the noose around her. Then he circled the rope several times, pinning her arms to her side.
What do you mean, take us with you? Take us where? What do you want with us?
Don't ask so many questions. You got a horse in the barn?
Yes, of course I do.
Van Arnt looked at Carlos.
You, get the woman's horse. Saddle it, bring it out. Get the other one a horse, too.
She came over on a buckboard, senor. She has no horse.
Then find her one.
Si, senor.
What do you want with us?
What do I want with you? Right now, I want you to shut up.
I'll go with you, but you don't need Lucy. Also, let the little girl and her family go. I've done all you asked.
Van Arnt stepped up to Sally and slapped her hard.
You don't listen very well, do you? You have not done what I said. I said I want you to shut up, and you haven't. Now shut up!
By now, several of the permanent ranch hands were standing around in the yard outside the house they called the Casa Grande. Having been drawn by the initial gunshot and the commotion, they had come from their individual quarters or from where they'd been working. The hands, all Mexican, were gathered in a little cluster in the yard behind the house. They looked on in fear and in frustration over the fact that there was nothing they could do for Sally, Lucy, or the little girl who was still being held at gunpoint. Kino came back outside then, with his red face covered with lard.
I put the lard on it like you said, but it didn't help none. My face still hurts.
Damn, I wish you could see yourself, Kino, with your face all red and shining like that. You sure as hell look like shit.
Jeter, see if any of these Mexes are armed.
If they are, you want me to take their guns?
No.
No?
If you find a gun on any of them, I want you to kill him.
Jeter went about his search.
Come on, Boswell, help me look.
Boswell, who had finished tying Sally and Lucy, walked over to join Jeter, and the two of them checked everyone very thoroughly. Despite the thoroughness of their inspection, they did not find a weapon on anyone.
There ain't nobody carrying a gun, Van Arnt.
All of you, get over there by the house. I want you to sit down in one long row.
For just a moment after Van Arnt gave his order, the employees just looked at each other as if unsure what to do next.
What shall we do, senora?
Juan was the oldest of all the Mexican employees. Suddenly, and without warning, Van Arnt turned his pistol toward Juan.
No!
Van Arnt's bullet had hit Juan in his earlobe.
Don't look to the woman for directions. I'm in charge here. Now I said for all of you to get over by the house and sit in one long row. Do it now or I'll shoot again. And next time, it won't be just an ear.
The others, galvanized by Van Arnt's cruelty in both action and words, now hurried over to sit down as ordered. Consuela reached out for Maria, intending to take her daughter with her to join the others, but Van Arnt held out his hand to stop them.
No! The little girl stays here with me. Peters!
Yeah, Van Arnt?
See what the hell is keeping that Mexican I sent after the horses. You should have both of them saddled and out here by now.
Peters started toward the barn, then stopped.
Here it comes now.
Looking toward the barn, Sally saw Carlos leading two saddled horses. One was hers, and the other was from the string that they kept for temporary cowboys. Carlos walked up to Van Arnt and tried to hand him the reins.
Don't give them to me, you stupid Mexican. I'm not riding that horse.
Van Arnt waved for Peters to come over and take the reins. Carlos started toward his wife and child.
Just a minute, you.
Carlos stopped.
Your name is Carlos, isn't it?
Si, senor.
Well, Carlos, is there anything you want to tell me?
I do not understand.
Oh, you understand all right. Did you hide something on this horse?
Carlos didn't answer. Van Arnt walked over to Sally's horse. First, he checked the saddlebags. Then he began running his hand around the blanket, then around and under the saddle itself.
Well, now, what do we have here?
Van Arnt pulled out a derringer and held it up for all to see.
You hid this here, didn't you, Carlos?
Carlos remained silent.
You hid this gun under the saddle blanket, didn't you, Carlos?
Si, senor.
What did you say? Come on, let me hear it. Let everyone hear it. Did you hide this gun under the saddle blanket?
Si, senor. I hid the gun under the blanket.
Yeah. That's what I thought you said, you sneaky son of a bitch.
Van Arnt looked over at Sally, his widening smile making a large dark scar across a face that was as white as if it had been coated with flour.
Well, my dear, you are to be commended for inspiring such loyalty as has been demonstrated here. The Mex here tried to sneak this pistol to you even though he was well aware that if he got caught doing it, he could be killed. That is right, isn't it, Carlos? You did understand, did you not, that if you tried to give your mistress this gun, that you could be killed?
Si, senor.
Well, that is very brave of you, Carlos. You knew it could get you killed, but you did it anyway. You have my respect for that.
Gracias, senor.
I congratulate you on your courage, Carlos. But you've just made it clear to all of us that you knew the danger of doing such a thing.
Van Arnt, leave him alone. Whatever bone you have to pick is with me or my husband. None of my employees are part of this. Neither is this girl.
Oh, but Carlos made himself a part of this when he tried to sneak this gun to you. And I think it is very important that everyone understand that he knew exactly what he was doing, just so there will be no misunderstanding over what I must do now.
Okay.
You son of a bitch!
Van Arnt put his foot into the stirrup, then swung up into the saddle of his horse.
Kano, get Mrs. Jensen and the other woman onto their horses. It's time for us to leave this place.
Gladly.
Kano grabbed Sally and pulled her over to her horse. Because her arms were tied to her sides, she couldn't get mounted without help, so Kano lifted her foot into the stirrup, then put his hand on her butt and pushed her into the saddle.
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised, but what you sort of enjoyed my hands playing around on your ass like that.
You can go to hell.
No, I am sure I will go to hell.
Kino turned to Lucy.
Now, little lady, it's your time. But don't worry. I promise to be gentle.
No, please. Why do you want me to go with you? Leave her alone. Van Arnt, I beg of you, leave the girl here. She has no part of this.
You stay out of this. Look here, girlie. You either come with us like I'm telling you to, or I will personally shoot you dead and leave you behind. It's up to you. Which shall it be?
I'll come with you.
I thought you might see it my way.
By the time Sally and Lucy were mounted, the men who were riding with Van Arnt were mounted as well.
Now, Mrs. Jensen, you and the girl here will do everything we ask of you without giving us any trouble. If you don't, I will kill the girl first. Then I will kill you. And just to show you that I'm serious, here's a little demonstration of how serious I am.
From the saddle, Van Arnt pointed not the derringer, but his own pistol at Maria.
No! My God, Van Arnt, please, no!
I hope this gets your husband's attention.
Sally, who had been shocked into silence by the enormity of Van Arnt's crime, did not answer.
Let's go!
With the two women as their prisoners, the group rode away from the ranch house. As best she could, with her restraints, Sally twisted around in her saddle to look back at the grisly scene they were leaving behind them. Tears streaked down her cheeks as she saw the crumpled form of the little girl. Maria was still wearing the dress Sally had so recently bought for her.
Hey, Van Art, why are we taking both of them? Seems to me like having two of them will just slow us down.
The girl is our ace in the hole.
Ace in the hole? What do you mean?
You don't have a lick of sense, do you, Cheater?
Yeah, I do. I got plenty of licks.
You seen what the Jensen woman did back at the house, didn't you? If you forgot already, just take a look at Kino's face. Then think about Miller, lying back there dead. Figure the Jensen woman is less likely to try anything if we have the girl, too.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, I see what you mean. Besides which, I reckon before all this is said and done, we'll have some fun with her. Yeah, I reckon I'm gonna appreciate that.
Lucy, I'm sorry you got caught up in this.
It isn't your fault. I'm the one who came over today.
It was late afternoon by the time Smoke, Pearlie, and Cal arrived at Sugarloaf. They saw several people standing around outside the house, and the tension was almost palpable. As Juan approached them, Smoke saw that the old Mexican was wearing a bandage wrapped around his head. There was a spot of red over his right ear where it had bled through.
What happened to your ear?
My ear is nothing, senor. Carlos and little Maria are dead, murdered, and Senora Jensen, the bandidos, took.
Van Art.
Si, Van Art. They took the senorita, too.
Took the senorita? What senorita? Who are you talking about?
Senorita Lucy.
What? They took Lucy?
Si, senor.
I don't understand. How'd they get her?
She had come to greet you when you came home, senor, apparently.
Damn!
Juan, do you have any idea where they went? Did you hear any of them mention where they're going?
I heard nothing, Senor Smoke, but when they left, they were going in that direction.
It looks like they're headed for either Hard Scrabble or Red Table Mountain.
Yes.
Looking around, he saw Consuela being comforted by some of the others, and he walked over to her.
Senor Rodriguez, I'm so sorry about Maria and Carlos. I wish there was something I could say or do that would comfort you.
Consuela had no family, but Carlos and Maria, now she has no place to go.
She doesn't need to go anywhere. She's welcome to stay on Sugarloaf as long as she wishes.
You must find Senora Jensen. Find the men who did this evil thing. Find them and punish them.
I will find them. And I promise you, they will be punished. Tell me, Juan, I think I know why Van Art took Sally and maybe even Lucy. But why did he kill Carlos and Maria?
He killed Carlos because Carlos hid a gun on the horse of Senora Jensen. Van Art found the gun?
Damn. That was very courageous of Carlos. But what about the little girl? Why on earth would Van Art kill a little girl like that? What possible danger could she have been to him?
He says if he killed a little girl, he will get your attention.
Is that it? He killed Maria just to get my attention? Well, I'll say this for that son of a bitch. He's gotten my attention, all right.
There is another one.
Another what?
Cadaver. Another body, senor.
There's another body? One of our people?
No, senor. He was one of the evil ones. Senora Jensen killed him.
You say Sally killed him?
Si, senor. Tuquino, the one who worked here before, Senora Jensen burned his face very bad with a hot plate from the store. Then she took the pistol from Kino and she killed another man.
Good. Good for Sally. Where's the man she killed?
He is out in the pig pen, senor. I did not want his body near those of Carlos and little Maria. I hope I did not do wrong.
You didn't do wrong. As far as I'm concerned, the pig pen is just the place for him.
Smoke started toward the pig pen with Pearlie and Cal close on his heels.
What do you think this is all about, Smoke?
Well, if that fella lying up there on the top of the canyon wall is to be believed, this man Van Art is holding Sally for ransom.
But if he's holding her for ransom, doesn't that mean he's going to have to send you a note or something to let you know where to take the money and how to get Sally back?
Yes.
Then what?
Then we find Van Art, and we kill him.
Sally and Lucy were riding in the middle, while three of their captors were riding in front and three were riding behind. They stopped just before starting up Hard Scrabble Saddle Pass.
Where the hell is Chardine? I told a son of a bitch to meet us here.
Maybe he's gone on ahead.
Nah, he wouldn't do that. But I don't know where he is. All the hell he was supposed to do was slow down Jensen and head right to here.
Did you say he was supposed to slow down Smoke? Slow down Smoke? Do you have any idea how funny that is?
What the hell are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at the idea that you actually thought you could do anything that would slow down Smoke. I'll tell you right now, Van Arnt, if you sent your man to try and slow Smoke down, you may as well just forget about him, because you aren't ever going to see him again.
Yeah? Well, he must have done it. Jensen didn't show up while we were at the ranch, now did he? Peters.
Yeah?
I want you to ride back to the ranch. I'm pretty sure that Jensen is there by now. If he isn't there yet, you wait. When he shows up, tell him that if he wants to see his wife alive again, it's going to cost him $45,000.
You want me to tell him that in person? The hell do you want me to do that for? Why don't you just send him a note?
Uh-uh. A note won't work. We need to be absolutely certain that he gets the information. Don't worry. He's not dumb enough to do anything to you as long as we have his wife.
Am I supposed to get the money from him?
Ha ha ha! You'd sure like that, I suppose. Nah, tell him to get the money together and send it by mail to Clay Thomas, General Delivery, Denver.
Clay Thomas? Who the hell is Clay Thomas? Why should he get the money?
There ain't no Clay Thomas, you dumb shit. That's just a name I'm using. Tell him when we have the money, we'll let his wife go.
What about the girl here? Should I tell him we have her?
I'm sure he will know.
We gonna ask more money for her?
No, we aren't. Tell him we've got this girl as well as his wife, and if he cooperates with us, we'll throw her in for free. She'll be a token of our good faith, so to speak.
All right.
There's an old abandoned mine on the other side of the pass. We'll meet you there when you come back.
There are two abandoned mines over there. Which one are you talking about?
You needn't be worried about that, Peters, since you won't be coming back.
What?
Don't pay any attention to that bitch. Just do what I told you.
Peters, just ask yourself this question. Did Chardine come back?
Van Arnt rode back to Sally, then slapped her hard.
I thought I told you to shut up.
I don't know, Van Arnt. Maybe the woman has a point. I mean, when you think about it, just where is Chardine anyway?
How the hell do I know? Knowing him, the dumb son of a bitch is probably lost. Get on with you now, or else ride away from your share of the money.
No need for that. I'm going.
All right, let's go. I want to be through the pass before dark.
The little party began riding again, and as before, Sally and Lucy were in the middle of the file. Only this time, with Peters gone, there were only two riders in front of them and three behind. Jeter was just in front of Sally. Kino was just behind her. Jeter's horse lifted its tail to defecate. Sally looked down at the horse apples and saw that they, like the droppings of the other horses, showed grass and hay. Her horse and the horse Lucy was riding were fed oats. Smoke would pick up on that. She knew that Smoke would be coming after her, so she started making a concerted effort to slow them down. Gradually, the distance between her horse and Jeter's horse began widening. Turning around, Van Arnt noticed the distance.
Keep up with this. If you don't keep up with this, I'll tie both of you belly down across the saddle and lead your horses.
It's difficult to ride with our arms tied to our sides like this. We're having to hold on with our knees.
Believe me, woman, it'll be a hell of a lot harder if you're belly down on your saddle. And that is exactly what I'm going to do to you if you two don't keep up like I said.
Sally had purposely dropped back, doing everything she could do to hold them up. Now she had no choice but to comply. As they passed close to a dirt wall on the right of the trail, Sally held out her right stirrup, doing so just far enough for it to leave a long gouge in the dirt. She did it naturally and easily without her horse losing a step, so that none of the three riders who were behind her noticed anything untoward. As the little group moved on, the trail was empty except for horse droppings and the gouge in the dirt wall. In the west, the sun dipped lower and the shadows lengthened.
Lucy, it will be all right.
Even as she said the words, though, they rang hollow in her ears because she recalled having said the same thing to Carlos and Maria. But this time she meant it. Somehow, some way, she would make it be right.
Smoke, there's a rider coming in.
Turning away from his conversation with Juan, Smoke saw the rider passing under the arch of the gate.
Señor Smoke!
It's all right, Juan.
That rider, he was one of them, one of the evil ones.
Yes, I figured he might be.
The rider approached calmly, almost arrogantly. When he reached the area where Smoke and the others were standing, he dismounted.
Who are you? What do you want?
Name's Peters. Then I reckon you know who I am. Unless I miss my guess, the old Mex there has told you I'm one of the men that snatched your woman.
He said you were one of the ones who killed Maria and her father.
Yeah, well, as far as killing's concerned, it was Van Art that done that. And he's a pistol, he is. He said that by him killing the little girl like that, it would show that we're serious when we tell you we'll kill your woman if you don't do what we tell you to do. Huh. Yeah, I reckon he was right. Because here we are negotiating.
No, we aren't.
We ain't what?
We aren't negotiating.
Well, I guess you're right at that. I mean, seeing as there ain't gonna be no palaverin' to it, I'm just gonna tell you flat out what we want.
I don't care what you want.
What we want is $45,000. Van Art says that you're to mail the money to Clay Thomas, general delivery, and... What'd you just say?
I said, I don't care what you want.
Mister, maybe you don't understand what's going on here. We got your woman. Truth to tell, we got another woman besides. What do you mean you don't care what we want?
Seems like a simple enough statement. I don't care what you want.
Look here, don't you want us to give you your woman back?
You won't be giving me anything. I intend to take her back.
Mister, ain't no way you're gonna get her back. Not without dealing with Van Art, you won't.
Smoke didn't respond.
So, what's your answer? Come on, Jensen, I gotta tell Van Art something. I can't go back to him and tell him you didn't say anything at all.
You don't have to worry about that.
What do you mean I don't have to worry about that?
I mean you don't have to worry about telling Van Art anything. Because you aren't going back.
Damn! That is the same thing she said.
That's what Sally told you, isn't it?
Well, see here, I ain't gonna let you work on my mind like that. I damn sure I'm going back.
No, you aren't.
We got your wife, don't you understand that?
And I've got you.
What do you mean you have me?
Van Art has Sally. I have you. And the only way Van Art is going to get you back alive is by giving me Sally.
You're crazy!
What's the matter, Peters? Are you afraid that Van Art won't negotiate for you?
Smoke had not expected Peters to draw his pistol. Certainly not here, where he was facing not only Smoke, but Pearlie and Cal as well. As a result, Peters actually had his pistol out before Smoke started his own draw. Seeing that he had beaten Smoke to the draw, Peters allowed a broad smile to play across his lips as he brought his pistol to bear. Then, even before he could pull the trigger, Smoke's gun was out.
How the hell did you do that?
I wonder if we could have talked him into leading us to Sally. Maybe you shouldn't have killed him, Smoke.
There wasn't time not to kill him.
Cal walked over to Peters' horse and lifted one of its feet. Using his knife, he scraped at the iron-shod hoof, then looked at the residue.
What do you got, Cal?
Looks like crushed yellow rock.
Yeah. The only place you'll find dirt like that is Hardscrabble Saddle Pass.
I'll get us some traveling food.
I'll get us some extra ammunition.
Señor, about Carlos and Maria, Consuelo wants to know if she can bury them here on your ranch.
Yes, of course she can.
Smoke took some money from his billfold and handed it to Juan.
Go into town and buy the caskets for both of them from Mr. Welch. Get the very best he has.
Gracias, señor. And this hombre, and the one in the pig pen?
Take these two bodies into town as well and give them to Sheriff Carson. Tell him what happened, and tell him that Pearlie, Cal, and I are going after Sally.
Si, señor.
Checking to make sure she wasn't being seen, Sally left another long scar on the cut beside the trail. When she looked over at Lucy, she saw the young woman still fighting hard to hold back the tears, and to a degree she was succeeding.
How are you doing, Lucy?
I have never been so frightened in my entire life.
It is a frightening experience, I'll grant you that.
But you aren't afraid at all. I don't understand. How is it that you are not afraid?
Oh, I'm afraid, all right. It's just that I don't intend to give these bastards the satisfaction of knowing I'm afraid.
What do you think they're gonna do with us?
As long as they think they can extort money from Smoke, they won't do anything to us. That will give Smoke time to rescue us.
Will Smoke pay money to get us free?
Smoke will rescue us.
Well, I wish I had your courage and confidence.
Smoke will get us out of this. Just hang on.
I'll try.
Smoke, you been noticing them horse turds? There's a couple of horses dropping oat turds, the other is grass turds.
Yeah, I seen that too.
You boys have good eyes. There's also that.
What?
Look at that cut alongside the trail. You see that long scar there?
Yeah, I see it. What about it?
Look at the trail below the scar. There's fresh dirt from the scar.
I'll be damned, I do see it. How do you reckon that is?
Well, seeing as this is the fourth one I've seen, I believe Sally has been leaving it for us.
Yeah, I think so too. How's she doing that, do you reckon? I mean, how's she doing that without being seen?
Sally is pretty resourceful. She can find a way to do just about anything she puts her mind to.
She's leaving us a trail so we can track her.
Yes, but she's also letting us know that she's still all right.
Hey, where are we going? The mine is this way.
Yeah, I know.
Well, didn't you tell Peters to meet us at the mine?
I expect Peters is dead by now, same as Chardine.
What do you mean you expect Peters is dead? You told him that as long as we had Jensen's woman, nothing would happen to him.
Yeah, I did, didn't I?
Are you saying you knowed all along he'd more than likely get himself killed?
I figured that, Boswell, yeah.
Then why did you send him?
Would you rather I've sent you?
What? Hell no.
Then think about it, Boswell. I had to send someone. Otherwise, how would Jensen know we had his woman?
You never had no intention of going to that mine, did you?
Nope.
Then why did you tell him that?
Suppose Peter got a little gabby before Jensen killed him. Suppose he started talking, you know, to save his own hide, and he told Jensen about the mine.
Do you think he would really do that?
Do you think for 1 minute that it wouldn't?
Yeah, I guess you are right.
Are you that dumb, Boswell?
What?
Don't you see what Van Arnt has done? He's already gotten rid of two of you. There are only three of you left now. If I were one of you, I'd be worrying about which one he's going to sell out next.
We better keep an eye on this bitch, Van Arnt. She's a smart one, all right. She's trying to get us to arguing amongst ourselves now. Hell, don't bother me none that Chardine and Peters has got themselves killed. Just more money for the rest of us.
I thought you were smarter than that, Kino. You know Smoke pretty well. You know there isn't going to be any money. Smoke will not pay one thin dime.
Is that right, Kino? Will Jensen really not pay anything to get his wife back?
Don't worry about it. Jensen sets more store by his woman than anyone I've ever met. I promise you, he'll pay whatever it takes to get her back. Ain't that right, Van Arnt?
It doesn't matter whether he pays the ransom or not.
What? What do you mean it don't matter? Of course it matters.
No, it doesn't.
What the hell are you talking about? If Jensen don't pay any ransom, then what for are we doing all this? I mean, why did we take his woman?
His bait.
Bait?
Yeah, his bait. Jensen is gonna come after her, and when he does, we're gonna kill him.
Van Arnt, I don't like the sumbitch any more than you do. But I wouldn't have gone into all this if I hadn't thought we was gonna make some money.
Oh, we're gonna make money all right.
How? I mean, if he isn't gonna pay us any ransom, how are we gonna make any money?
You let me worry about that.
Just after sundown, Van Arnt called a halt in order to allow them to eat a few bites of jerky and take a few swallows of water. Kino chewed on the leathery jerky, then took a drink of tepid water from his canteen. He spit some out in disgust and wiped his mouth with the back of his hand.
Ugh, damn water tastes like horse piss. And the jerky tastes like dog turds. I know damn well there's got to be a town near here. Yeah, Mitchell is near here. Listen, Van Arnt, why don't we go into Mitchell?
Why would we want to do that?
Well, I was just thinking, if we went into Mitchell, we could maybe get us something fit to eat and decent to drink.
You was thinking, was you? What makes you believe you have enough brains to think?
You got no right to talk to me like that, Van Arnt. Whose idea was it to snatch Jensen's wife in the first place? I mean, we didn't do that well taking Jensen's herd or stealing his money, did we?
Look, just do things my way for a little while longer. We can't go into Mitchell now, not while we're dragging a couple of women prisoners along with us. We're not far from Salcedo. That's where we're headed.
Salcedo? Where the hell's Salcedo? I ain't never heard of it.
Not many have heard of it. That's why it's the place we need to be.
You know anybody in Salcedo?
Yeah, I know someone there. I know the marshal there.
Like that's gonna do us any good.
It may.
You won't tell me how knowing the marshal in this town, Salcedo, is gonna do us any good?
The marshal of Salcedo is my brother.
Your brother? No shit. The marshal is your brother. Son of a bitch, you had it in mind all along to go there, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Mine up.